Want an Academy Award? Think about diversity and inclusion. I'm David Brancaccio. After 3 days of collapsing prices for technology stocks, we're starting the day here with some more stability. In early trading, the NASDAQ index, full of tech firms, is up 1.2%. Some of that, analysts say, has some math behind it. Some market players are programmed to buy when prices get down to an average of 50 days, a moving average. Tesla's stock, which fell by the most ever in a day, 21% yesterday, is up more than 8% this morning. Apple's stock is up more than 2%. And you know that feeling right around Labor Day that you take stock of the rest of the year. And what we see is a lot of unanswered questions. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
We're in the final 2 months of election rhetoric. We have the uncertainty of COVID still on the backdrop. We have a stimulus package that the market largely expected to be released already that hasn't yet come out. And I think the market is looking at this saying the final quarter of the year does have a lot of variation in the paths it can take. What do we do?
From banking to healthcare and beyond, industries have embraced diversity. Now, an industry with a key role in shaping culture, we're talking Hollywood, is increasing the pressure. The Academy behind the Oscars has announced what it calls representation and inclusion standards that will apply to any firm vying in the Oscar category of Best Picture. Marketplace's Scott Tong is here. This may be about social justice, Scott, but also the market.
Also the audience. This is to appeal to the global and diverse buyers of the product, according to the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. So starting in 2024, any film competing for Best Picture has to meet some new standards. For instance, at least one lead actor or significant supporting actor has to come from an underrepresented group, or the creative team, cinematographer, casting director, etc., has to meet certain diversity metrics. There are standards for access to internships and jobs and marketing and distribution. Now, a film doesn't have to meet every one of these standards, David, but big changes here.
All right. What's the data on representation in movies?
Well, a couple numbers from the University of Southern California's recent analysis. The ratio of male characters with speaking roles to females is more than 2-1. The percent of top female directors is 4.5%. And 5% of characters with speaking roles are Latino, even though they're 18% of the population.
Everyone embracing last night's announcement?
No. The actress Kirstie Alley compared this to telling Picasso what to put in his blankety-blank paintings. So let the debate begin.
All right, Scott, thank you. We've also started our series about what some see as the biggest logistical challenge in human history, not developing a coronavirus vaccine, but distributing it to the world. We're calling this coverage Fast Track, the grand challenge of vaccinating the world against COVID-19. The coverage is accumulating at marketplace.org if you miss it on the air.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The exercise at home company Peloton has been having a fine pandemic with people leery of gyms. It's got a new, even more expensive trainer bike on the way and is cutting the price of its original multimedia one to under $2,000. Ahead of Peloton's quarterly results later this week, here's Marketplace's Erica Barris.
Before the pandemic, Peloton's pricey interconnected exercise equipment appealed to a certain demographic. Then came stay-at-home orders. Peloton sales grew and grew. And now, according to Landon Luxemburg, an analyst with Third Bridge, Peloton is essentially saying,
we've already captured the people that we were able to capture during the pandemic. Now let's expand our base even more. And the one way to do this is to provide a lower price piece of hardware.
Peloton also offers subscriptions for exercise streaming classes, but now lots of gyms and studios have live online classes too. Walter Thompson is the former president of the American College of Sports Medicine. He says the competition is heating up as the pandemic heads into the fall, and these sports tech companies may realize that Americans are thinking,
I know it's going to be cold, and I'm not going to want to go outside, so I need an alternative.
And for those customers, Peloton and other companies may be betting that interconnected exercise equipment is that alternative. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
The Department of Agriculture just reported that 1 out of 10 households in the U.S. were not able to feed themselves properly, and that new data covers 2019, before pandemic hit. It's a global problem made worse by pandemic. Here's my Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig.
Globally, 61% of people work in the informal economy. That's according to aid and development charity Oxfam International. Domestic workers, street vendors, taxi and delivery drivers, all daily wage earners whose livelihoods were taken away when coronavirus required shutdowns around the world. That meant for many who were without daily work, money dried up, and so did meals. Matthew Triscott, Oxfam International's head of humanitarian policy, says this year about 121 million people have been pushed to the edge of starvation.
And that, of course, is across the main hotspots, the ones that you would expect, Yemen, Democratic Republic of Congo, Afghanistan, Venezuela, South Sudan. But we're also seeing hunger coming up in otherwise sort of middle-income or developing countries, India, South Africa, Brazil, etc.
That's because when such a large proportion of the population is forced to stay home, either by sickness or government regulation, they're at greater risk of long-term exposure to hunger.
If you take people who are living day-to-day selling milk, if they can't sell milk for a few days, it gets to a point where they then have to do something to have food and income. And it comes to the point where they then have to sell their means of income, so selling the cow, which had been providing their milk. And they then can't go back to generating that income. And the same happens in sort of urban areas where people who had been, for instance, taxi drivers, after so long of not being able to take fares and give taxi rides, they eventually then have to start selling off assets to cope. And that's where we're really seeing this potential long-term structural breakdown.
To combat those effects, Oxfam International has proposed a range of solutions, including $10.3 billion in humanitarian aid, cancellation of poor nations' debt to pay for food and reinvest in agriculture, and build a more robust food system that can withstand shocks like this pandemic. If that doesn't happen, the consequences of food insecurity could become longer-term problems for nations of all sizes. Here's Professor Dominic Morn, who studies resource economics at the University of Edinburgh.
That's going to affect childhood nutrition. Children's IQ and development is stunted. Their human capital is degraded over the long term due to their inability to flourish.
He explained other potential long-term economic effects of COVID-19-fueled recessions include lower investments in food supply by farmers and international organizations and long-term unemployment, which limits an individual's ability to both find new work and access food due to loss of income. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
And in an era where lines for food pantries are long, it's hard to spare much headspace for the following players. There's news this morning that the Moët & Chandon champagne people at LVMH will not be able to take over Tiffany Jewelers as planned, at least for now. Part of it is the threat of U.S. tariffs on French goods. LVMH's luxury everything, including Hennessy, Louis Vuitton, and Tag Heuer fancy wristwatches. Tiffany's sells little boxes a shade of robin's egg blue, right? I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.